The Holy Word according to the Book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went to the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The names of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. When they lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find security, each of you, in the house of your husband." And then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." Please read verses 16 and 17 along with me. But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." The Holy Word of God.
Why don't we pray together, huh? Lord God, in this time and at this place, we give you thanks for the gift of this community that we share in this hour, come together to hear your word and be present with you, to set the rest of our worries aside, to center ourselves in your spirit, in your word. As we hear from the book of Ruth, may your spirit guide us to grow ever closer to you, to grow in faith for you, to love each other the way that you love us, and guide us always to follow new paths through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. What does it mean, do you think, to have faith? What is faith? We talk about faith a lot in the Christian church. We talk about how we profess our faith, as we just did with our new members. We encourage one another in faith. We grow in our faith. We confirm our faith. We just did that a couple weeks ago with our confirmation class. But what is it? What is faith? Sometimes when I ask that question of people, they'll respond by quoting the creeds, giving a list of some of the things they believe. That we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for our sins and rose again on Easter morning. That is their faith. Or they might say to me that their faith is how they live their lives. It involves them being inspired by God to recognize in one another the face of God, to live for their neighbors, that is their faith. And I think these are absolutely important aspects of what faith is. But I think the essential core of faith is something a little different. One of the metaphors that I like to use about faith and what faith is that of a trust walk. I was a camp kid for a lot of years up at Camp Vermilion, Camp Hiawatha. Anybody else been to camp before? Couple people around? Yeah, so a trust walk, at least for us at VLM, was this exercise where you'd break up into pairs in your cabin. You'd have one person who'd be wearing a blindfold, and then the other person who would be then leading them around the camp. The person who had the blindfold on couldn't see anything that was around them. They were dependent entirely on the other person to guide them around any fences or any walls or tree branches, whatever might be in their path. It was kind of a way, first, to build community in the cabin, but also to give us a perspective of what it meant to be reliant on someone else. And I think that sense of reliance is really what the core of faith is. When we talk about faith, it's not what we understand or the list of things we know. Faith at its core is about trust and who we trust. The scriptures are full of examples of this kind of faith, of people who might not be stepping into something that they understand or know or even are certain about, but they trust that they're being led. Last week when Bishop Tesh was here, he spoke to us about Moses and the burning bush, about how Moses encounters God on this place and is called to lead his people to freedom. Now, this is something that Moses was not excited to do. You might recall from that story that he kept coming up with all of these excuses for why he was the wrong choice for this. He said, "I can't speak well, God. I can't deal with people well." And then finally he says, "Oh, God, please, just find someone else. Find someone else." He is absolutely surrounded by doubt, uncertainty, and not knowing what he's stepping into. And yet in the end, he chooses to trust God. Trust that even though he's stepping into this unknown situation, God walks with him. That is faith. Or the example in the book of Genesis of Abraham and Sarah. Before they're Abraham and Sarah, they're Abraham and Sarai. And God leads them out from everything they knew, tells them to leave their place of birth, their families, their friends, everything that was familiar, because God was going to lead them into a new place, a new land. Now, they had no idea what they were stepping into. They didn't know if they would have enough to eat, if they'd have a place to stay, if they'd find people who were not hostile to them. And yet they followed because they trusted God. They had faith in God. Or one of my favorite examples from the New Testament, Simon Peter, towards the end in the book of Acts 10 and 11, he has this vision of God where this sheet comes down into the sky of all these unclean foods, and he ends up coming to this understanding that God is calling the Gentiles to also be a part of the church. People who were not Jewish could become a part of the Christian faith. Now, this was a huge step into the unknown. This was against everything that Peter thought he understood about how God worked and who God worked with. And yet, he took that step, that leap of faith into the unknown, because he trusted that the Holy Spirit was leading him. He trusted that God was doing something new in these people who were previously his enemies. This kind of faith is something that we also find in our story today from the book of Ruth. Now, to give us kind of a little background, to back up a little bit and talk about what we heard this morning, we have in the beginning these four people coming from the village of Bethlehem, which is a place that we're fairly familiar with, the place where Jesus is born. This is long before that. We have Naomi and her husband Elimelech, and their two sons Chilion and Mahlon, who come out of Bethlehem because there's a famine, they're starving to death, and they become refugees, fleeing to Moab, the nation directly to the east. And their fortunes don't turn around immediately. In fact, Elimelech ends up dying. The patriarch dies. And so Naomi and her two sons are left not only outside of their homeland, but also without their father and husband. Now, things start to turn around a bit for them. In the next 10 years, they spend time living in Moab, and even the boys find wives. We have Orpah and Ruth who join the family, and things are starting to look up. But then tragedy strikes again, and both of the sons die, leaving all three women as widows. Now, Naomi has heard that the famine in Bethlehem, in Judah, is over. And so she starts getting the idea that maybe she's going to head back to Bethlehem, because at least there, she has family. She knows the place. She knows the people. And so there, she might be able to seek some refuge with other relatives, maybe be able to be sustained by others. And so she sets out back the long journey to Jordan or to Judah and to Bethlehem. And her two daughters-in-law follow along because they've become quite attached to Naomi. They love Naomi. They're part of this family now. And so they want to continue this process and go to Bethlehem with her. But Naomi says that they should return. They should turn back. Go back to their own people, their own gods. Because Naomi knows something that the other two women don't. She knows that in Judah, in Bethlehem, people of Moabite descent are absolutely not welcome. In fact, if you look to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 23, it says there that no Moabite to the 10th generation is allowed into the assembly of God. To the 10th generation, they are anathema, to be kept away from the promises of God and God's people. And so she knows, Naomi knows, that if they go with her back to Bethlehem, they will not find a happy ending. They will find rejection. They will be cast out. They will be turned away. And so she pleads with them to turn back. Well, after a while, she succeeds in convincing Orpah to turn away and to say goodbye and to head back to Moab. But Ruth, and I love the way that Scripture describes this, Ruth clings to Naomi. So deep is her love for Naomi, her faith in Naomi and Naomi's God, that she wants nothing more than to continue on this process. Even knowing the small amount she does about what awaits her in Bethlehem, she is willing to take that step of faith. And we have then this absolutely beautiful statement of faith that we hear in our text, where Ruth says in verse 16, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God." Is there a more beautiful picture of what it means to have faith, not only in Naomi, but in the God that Naomi trusts? Ruth says, because you trust this God, I too will place my trust in this God. And this is the part of the story that really shows us what kind of a God it is that we have faith in, who it is that we are trusting. The eternal God, as Teresa talked about, also is the God of new things. Throughout Scripture, we see God doing new things again and again, welcoming new people into the family. And so when Ruth and Naomi return to Bethlehem, Ruth is not turned away. Instead, she does find welcome. She finds family, marrying Boaz, who is the cousin of Naomi's former husband, and is welcomed into the community. And more than that, again, showing the kind of God we have, Ruth develops a legacy. Because Ruth's son, Obed, ends up being the grandfather of the person we're talking about next week, King David. The royal lineage of Judah is born from a Moabite woman, the outsider who should not have been welcome. And through King David, she's also the ancestor of Jesus, born in Bethlehem, the city of David. This is the kind of God we have faith in. A God who calls us to love our neighbors, to welcome those who are the least, welcome those who have nowhere else to go because they are brothers and sisters with us. Who calls us to have faith, stepping out of our comfort zones, out of what we think we understand, into a new understanding a family together. And so it is my hope that as we hear these stories of faith and these heroes that have gone before us, that we are inspired to follow that example, to trust the God who loves us, who calls us, and to love one another the way that same God loves us. Amen.